Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Countdown to Kickoff. Yes, okay, it's a Thursday night. It's not our usual Friday night, but apparently Ali McCoy takes priority tomorrow night. But we're here looking forward to the Blackpool game this Saturday. I'm joined by John. John, we haven't spoken in a while. You weren't on the pod last week. Just a quick look back, a scrappy 1-0 win over Burton last weekend. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, it was grim. It was a big 3 points. I'm very glad we won, obviously. I still have massive concerns about the way we are playing football at the minute and whether sustainably we can continue to pick up 3 points. It feels a little bit like that section of last season where I think we had Exeter at home and Wigan at home and Cambridge away, and we were we did get enough wins to stay up, but then we went on a 7-game losing streak and really the performances weren't great even when we were picking up those points. And it feels to me a little bit like we're relying on Bass and not too much else at the minute, which over the long term I'm still very concerned at what I'm seeing. But it was a massive 3 points and nice not to be 24th.
Yeah, I think most Posh fans would echo that the result was the most important thing. We'll get on to having our opposition fan and our Posh fan on in a moment. But before we dive in, we just want to say a massive thank you to our partner for this stream, Elite Lawn Maintenance. They're a local, independent, family-run lawn care company specializing in renovations and chemical treatments. They operate within 30 miles of Peterborough and their products are up to 360 times stronger than what you'll find at your local garden centre. With over 10 years of experience maintaining football pitches, including the hallowed London Road turf, they are Peterborough's leading lawn care company. Contact Elite Lawn Maintenance today to arrange a free lawn consultation, and Up the Poshcast listeners will receive 25% off their first treatment. So a pretty good deal all round. And without further ado, we'll get our first fan on. So it's going to be a Blackpool fan, Martin. Martin, how are you today?
I'm good, chaps. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing good. I mean, it's been a rough season, hasn't it, Martin?
that's a massive understatement. I never thought in the summer that we would be down there, and I didn't think you guys or Peter would be down there either. So it's been turbulent. It's been really turbulent. You know, I didn't expect to see Steve Bruce be gone by October, although he probably should have been gone by the end of August. But there we go.
Evening, Martin. Speaking of Bruce, how are you feeling about the managerial change and Everett coming in? Are you pleased?
I am, yeah. A year ago when we appointed Steve Bruce, it was one of those appointments that came completely out of the blue. And before he was ever Blackpool manager, he wasn't my cup of tea as a manager anyway. I thought he'd had too many jobs and I thought he was a guy who was winging it slightly. I don't know how. I think the general sort of football public, people either love him if he's been at your club and done well, or they think he's a bit of a joke figure. And I always thought Steve Bruce was a bit of a joke figure. But when he came to us, I thought, well, we're in League One. He's quite a basic manager. Maybe this is what we need. But, you know, Neil Critchley had overcomplicated it so much in his second spell, and we thought that Bruce might simplify it. And that's how it started. But this season has been abysmal. And if you believe certain people, maybe the training was not as committed as it should have been. So it needed to be changed, and we needed somebody younger with hunger and fire in the belly, and somebody who just wanted to really wanted to be here, rather than somebody who, you know, had about 15 clubs beforehand and was maybe just kind of seeing the days out as a manager. So I'm really happy with it, and I think near enough every Blackpool fan is delighted with the appointment.
Yeah, that's really good. And I mean, I guess under Bruce, what was the issue? Was it him, would you say, or is there a real deficiency in this squad? Why are you sitting rock bottom of League One right now?
I genuinely couldn't tell you. I mean, we've now got half a squad injured, but we didn't have half a squad injured at the start of the season when defensively we've been abysmal. I mean, the first day of the season against Stevenage, and I'm not taking anything away from Stevenage, but we literally gave them all three goals. You've probably got your own team and issues to worry about, I guess. But if you watched us on the first day of the season, You know, we've got Bailey Peacock Farrell in goal, literally passing it straight to one of theirs on the edge of the area. We've got Fraser Horsfall, who's coming on big wages, silly back pass to one of theirs. Literally all three goals were given. And then we went to Exeter with the same full squad and got absolutely battered 4-1 by a team that I think will probably get relegated. So just defensively, we've been awful. But pre-season wasn't very good. It seemed badly organised. It didn't seem that things were right there. And I think we just got off to a bad start. And the team just didn't believe in what Bruce was trying to do. Because financially, you know, we've spent a lot of money. If I believe if Ian Everett had come in the summer with this squad, we'd probably be in the top 6, 7, 8, whatever. So I just think that his tactics and methods were outdated. And it just went wrong. He probably should have gone after about 4 or 5 games, to be honest. We held on too long.
Yeah, I mean, just talk to me about the summer recruitment, because from an outside perspective, other than Peacock Farrell, who has had an absolute howler against us last season as well, seems a bit prone to that. I thought, especially at the back, the recruitment looked very good for this level. Were you pleased with it?
Delighted. And it makes me so annoyed now that Bruce has given an interview this week where he said the recruitment probably cost him his job, where he went on record saying the recruitment was amazing and that the owner had backed him. But yeah, Fraser Horsfall, you know, we managed to get him from Stockport, you know, on a 4-year contract on very good money. Danny Imre came in from Crystal Palace, who had a really good season on loan at Bromley last season. He's unfortunately another one that's been cursed by our injury crisis. You know, he's out injured. But We recruited players like, you know, Dale Taylor's cost us over £1 million, which, you know, for any team in League One, apart from maybe Birmingham and Wrexham last season, that's a lot of money, isn't it? I know if you guys spent, I know you have, but you spend £1 million on a player, that's serious money for League One. 3/4 of the league can't spend that kind of money. So, yeah, overall, we signed a winger from Crystal Palace called Malcolm Abue, who came with a lot of potential, and we got him on a free. But within 3 weeks, he'd gone. And nobody really officially knows why. But, you know, there's got to be something gone on there for a really talented player like that to have his contract ripped up and off you pop. So we have invested quite a lot of money, but half of them are injured. You know, George Honeyman's come in from Millwall, started the season really well, injured. Niall Ennis, really good player at this level, injured. Dale Taylor himself is out for 3 months. So, we have 13 fit players. So, you know, despite all the recruitment, we have 13 fit players, senior players.
It was sounding promising for us if you've only got 13 available. Are there any big gaps in the squad? Is there anywhere you're particularly worried about given the injury crisis?
Well, I mean, to be fair to Bailey Peacock Farrell, he's really settled down. He's really settled down. I think he's a goalkeeper. I mean, all goalkeepers need to play. And I think he'd been so rusty when he came to us that he's really settled down recently. And I think he did quite well for Northern Ireland when he went on the international break. So I'm not too worried about the goalkeeping situation, but we are short of strikers. We've literally got Ashley Fletcher, who, as you know, Ashley Fletcher's had a career where he looks like a world beater one day and then looks like something up the opposite the next. You know, he scored the other week, which is a really good goal, but he's only scored a couple in the league. So forward line, really, we have plenty of people who are back fit that can supply the cross. You've got Josh Bowler, who at this level is a real player. You know, he's his third spell with us, but he's only 26. We've got Scott Banks, we've got a couple of other wingers who can do the business, but we have nobody up front apart from Ashley Fletcher. So our real worry is where the goals are going to come from. We've scored one goal away from home all season. So I am giving you more optimism by giving you that stat. It's quite depressing, really.
Yeah, you haven't played us yet, though. So well, there is hope. How are you expecting to set up then when under Everett? 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1? Have you got any theories as to how we might go?
Well, at Bolton, he got himself a reputation for playing three at the back, sort of towards the end of his time. And when it went wrong, Bolton fans didn't like that very much. I honestly don't know. I'd like to think that we can still play with a four at the back. I'm not a big fan of three at the back. But if it works, great. But we're not blessed with wing backs. You know, we invested heavily in wingers, We're not absolutely blocked. If Danny Imre was fit, maybe we could match up on the other side with Coulson. Hayden Coulson's a very naturally a left back, so a left wing back. So potentially he could go to three at the back, but I just see us probably playing with a flat back four because one of our defenders got concussed on Saturday, Michael Ihekwe. So I think we've only got Casey and Horsfall as centre back. So I'm sure it'll be a four. And with only one striker, it'll probably be like a 4-3 or 4-3-2-1, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hayden Coulson, that's a throwback. He was on loan with us in the Championship for like 6 months and was absolutely terrible. So good to see that his career settled down a little bit. I mean, in terms of Everton, are you expecting, I know it's kind of hard with these sort of things to predict, but are you expecting there'll be an instant new manager bounce? Do you think it's going to take a bit of a time for him to settle in? And what have his like interviews and early sort of days at the club been like?
Well, when Bruce was sacked, like, what, 18 days ago, my first thought was I really wanted Ian Everett. You know, again, he played for us for 7 years, and part, you know, he was in the Premier League. Team that got to the Premier League and the team that played in the Premier League. I always wanted Ian Everett because I've watched his career and at Barrow, he played some amazing football for the level they were at. And then he went to Bolton. And apart from, as I say, the last maybe 6, 7, 8 months in a 4.5 year spell, he did really well with them. And Bolton fans have rewritten history, as I keep saying. And I've had a few interviews about Everton this week on various channels and things. And I've said that Bolton fans have rewritten history about Ian Everett. You know, he got them a promotion. He got them to two playoffs and they won the Virtue Trophy. Now, if you guys had that with someone, you'd be happy. I think I'd be happy as a Blackpool fan with that kind of record. But apparently for Bolton, who were bigger than Real Madrid, it's not good enough. So I'm delighted with getting him. I'm delighted with his interviews. He's really intense. The players aren't going to know what's hit them. Because I'm led to believe that training was a little bit of a walk in the park under Bruce. It won't be under Ian Everett. He's quite an intense guy. He's gone away for 9 months and really thought about it. And maybe, you know, he realises he's made some mistakes. But he is the absolute ideal manager for us. He does love the club, genuinely loves the club. He's so excited about getting this job. He was nearly in tears, he said, when he realised it was going to happen. So to get this over the line is brilliant. He's got a 3-year contract. And I think it will be a slow burner because of the injuries. Any manager coming in with 13 fit players is probably going to struggle. But in a month's time, the squad will look a lot better. But I think we might have to be very patient, you know. So do I expect a manager bounce? Yeah, in terms of the way we're going to play, I'm sure we'll be better. But in terms of results, there's no guarantee because we probably are going to be plucking two or three out of the youth team to kind of fill spaces on Saturday. So it'll be a slow burner, but in the long run, he'll be a really good appointment, I think.
Just moving on to Posh a bit. I don't know if you've seen us at all this season, Martin, either on highlights or anywhere. Anyone that you're particularly wary of or any strengths of this Posh team or indeed weaknesses that you want to talk about?
I just think, well, I think generally, you know, in these parts, Darren Ferguson is not well-liked because he was at Preston. But if he wasn't at Preston, he would have been really admired for kind of year upon year churning out really good, exciting football teams. I remember last season when we played you guys, you know, in some ways, we didn't actually play that badly for the first half an hour. But the pace that you had, I know you've lost a lot of players because your model, obviously, is to bring in players from lower down, sell them and make a heck of a lot of money. And your owner and Barry Fry and Darren Ferguson have made an absolute career out of it, and it's amazing. But I just think that clearly something's not quite right at Peterborough defensively. Is that right? Would you say? Or although having said that, someone was saying that you've been in quite a lot of the games, haven't you? That you've lost. They've been quite tight. Even like the Burton game, you managed to turn that round. You could easily have probably won a few more games. So I just think generally when Darren Ferguson sets up a team at this level, you know, I'm very wary of the fact that it could click at any point. So, you know, it's not easy. It's not going to be easy at all.
No, in answer to your question, I think we still have that reputation of being very exciting and entertaining. But for the last, how long, Charlie, are we saying 12, 14 months? There's literally been about...
I think probably since that Blackpool game, like that Blackpool game was probably one of our last good performances. Yeah.
Charge that day, because Bruce obviously had his terrible bereavement to deal with, and Steve Agnew was in charge. and it was just awful. And our goal, we had Harry Tyre on loan from Everton, and he made a howler as well, I seem to remember. So, but yeah, but I remember thinking that is a Peterborough team, like the season before in the EFL Cup in the semi-final when you guys came to our place, and I really thought we had a hell of a chance. And you had Poku playing at his best, I think, didn't you, and Jay Jones and all the rest of it, and you murdered us on the counter-attack every single time. And that's what I've always associated Peterborough with doing. So it seems that maybe it's you've had to adjust because you've probably lost so much talent, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. We can't keep doing it the way we're doing it. And the issue is now other clubs are trying to replicate the model, which is not ideal for us. We've sort of always had dibs on any good players from sort of League Two in the National League. And now they're getting offered big wages and we just can't get them in. So, Martin, we as we always do with our guests, we're going to ask for, first of all, just tell me how you're feeling ahead of the game and then give me a score prediction. And if you think Blackpool are going to score, give me Blackpool's first goal scorer.
Okay, I'm feeling a lot better than I was. If Bruce had been in charge, or even Stephen Dobby, bless him, who's been in caretaker charge twice, I think we needed a new manager to get rid of all the old habits, but it'll take time. So I'm feeling good, and I'm actually coming to the game. So I wouldn't have done if it was probably, I'll be honest, if Steve Bruce was in charge, I would have been sat at home watching it on someone's dodgy stick. But I'll definitely be there. So. I don't know. I'm going to go for like a 1-1. I never, ever, ever back my own team to lose, even though they possibly, there's every chance they will. So a 1-1, and probably, seeing as he's the only striker in Tangerine that we've got, probably Ashley Fletcher to score.
Nice. How many do you think you'll bring up on Saturday?
Well,
bring down.
I was reading that I think we've sold 800 or 900. And I don't know if, and I know they go off sale tomorrow, but I don't know if there's any scope for pay on the gate, because you've got a decent away end, haven't you?
I think there probably will be. If it sticks at around 800-900, probably pay on the day will be. I mean, I'm not at, if you at Phil Adlam on Twitter, he'll let you know whether it's pay on the day or not.
Right. Okay.
I mean, he's the posh guy.
Trip, isn't it? It's 185 miles.
Yeah, it's an absolute mammoth trek for you.
In Everett, I think the fact that everyone wants to be in Everett's first game, and I think we've got something we can believe in now. So and I would forgive Ian Everett for losing on Saturday, simply because after three training sessions, it's very hard to get a mentality turn around, isn't it? So it's, I think we've just got something we can believe in, and you know what it's like. If you've got a manager that you trust, everyone's on board. If you haven't and you don't like the manager, it's not gonna work, is it? So
And one final thing, and I know it's a bit morbid, but since we're the two bottom teams of the league, do you think you'll stay up this season, Martin?
I'm not just saying it because I'm on here. I'm sure we'll stay up, and I'm sure you'll stay up too. I have no doubts that you will be better and we will be better. And it would even now at this point, it would be an utter disaster if we went down, because there's only 13 games gone, isn't there? So. You know, if we both go down, we deserve to go down. I would say, with the size of clubs that we are, we shouldn't be there, should we? But so I'm sure we won't, and I'm sure you won't.
Yeah, if not, we'll have you back on next season for the League Two title race. It'll be quality.
I mean, it's fun, but it'll be a year of our lives that we could have been doing something else. But yeah, okay.
Thanks for coming on, Martin.
No worries.
Cheers.
Cheers, Martin.
Right, well, I'm actually, you know, I always end up feeling really bad after getting the opposition fans on. But actually, I feel all right. They've got no strikers. They've got like half a squad out. They're going to be playing 16-year-olds. Like, we might be all right here, John.
Yeah. Villa's under-21s were 2-0 up against us about 2 weeks ago, Chaz. But yeah.
Oh, God. What have we got in the comments quickly? Good. Can you ask Charlie what he thinks of the blue section? Well, I love the blue section. I will not be at the game on Saturday, unfortunately. But if I was, you best bet I would be thunderclapping down at the front of that GH, singing my heart out. Anybody, honestly, just go and try it out. And if you know, some people don't like approaching people, but approach any of the people that are sort of running it and just talk to them. They're a really good bunch of lads, and they're a real, you know, they're just a real, they're trying to do a really good thing. And I'm in big support for the blue section. Oh, PUFC for life is confident. Can't wait for Saturday. Another win incoming. Well, listen, I think it's got to be, doesn't it? Lod says, didn't Fergie comment about how Blackpool always allow us to play on the counter? Yes, he did. I remember last season he clowned them a little bit for it. Yeah. That's it for comments, which means we'll get on to our posh fan, who is filmed by Haz. He's called himself one here, affectionately known by many as PUFC Zone. Harry, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well. First of all, we'll just ask how you're doing. You're at Derby now, right?
Yeah.
What are you studying?
Football journalism, same as Max.
Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, it's good so far, yeah.
Apart from what's the Derby nightlife like?
All right, not too bad.
Good, right. Well, the game on Saturday. What do you think ahead of this one then? Were you at Burton last week? What were your thoughts about the game? Just, yeah, speak to me.
Well, I was at Burton last week, unfortunately, for Hurst half. Well, last week was poor in many ways. I thought Bass, Collins and O'Connor basically kept us in that game, to be honest. Though we play way too deep. I think, to be honest, I think at this point the midfield don't trust the defence. So it's basically playing a seven back. And then Leonard and Jimmy J. Morgan are more isolated than Point Nemo. So we basically have no attacking threat.
Evening, Harry. Are you thinking, after what you just said, formation change? Are you wanting to see a shift in the formation, or are you sticking with this 5-3-2?
I'd like to see a formation change, probably to 4-3-3.
How are you getting there then? Talk us through it. Who are your four defenders and who are your two wingers? Because they are always the problem positions.
So, in goal, Bass, obviously. The right back is Chiosa. He's an overlapping wing. He's an overlapping fullback. He's not a wing back, in my opinion, anyway. That's why he worked so well with Poku in 23-24. Left back, I'd have Hardy Mills. I really don't think he's that bad. I think he's solid enough defensively. Obviously, he's got a good ball in. I'd put Tom O'Connor left centre-half, and then right centre-half, I'd probably have a Kagbe. Because I'm not having a go at Nevitt here. This is for Saturday, anyway. I think Nevitt's been good, but I think his Blackpool do have pace. And if they put a ball over the top over Nevitt, as we saw with Burton, he can be outpaced. That is the only problem with Nevitt. And then centre mids, just keep the same midfield three. Archie, Woods, and then Garbutt more in a 10 role. And then on the right, I'd put Lisby on the right. I think he can cut in. And then left, I'd put Jimmy J. Morgan, because I don't think Otto should be anywhere near this team. And then up front, Leonard.
Okay. Yeah, I don't mind it. It's cohesive. And my issue is always just Jimmy J's been our biggest goal threat, and then we're farming him out on the left wing. I don't know. But then I'm with you, Harry. I don't really want to see the 3-5-2 or the 5-3-2 or the 7-1-2 as it looks most of the time, like you said. Again, it's not the most pleasing on the eye, is it?
Not. I was just gonna say, I like, honestly, John, it's one of those things you can see it on the TV, but when you're at the game, like at Burton, it's that tight pitch and you're just watching like all of your players compacted into like two banks. It like they're in the trenches. It's horrific. It's absolutely awful. I was gonna ask Harry, I mean, I know we sort of touched on last week, but let's just go a little bit further back into the past. Go back to sort of pre-season, the transfer window. How have we ended up in the pickle that we're in now?
I think it all stemmed from last year's transfer window, or summer transfer window, because once we got rid of Ronnie, we got rid of H, got rid of EMC, obviously in the January window anyway. But I honestly just think, I don't think we recruited well last year, and then we didn't. And then we said after Mansfield and Rotherham last season on the final two games, we'd replace them. Or at least we'd get replace those players who have left, and then plus the players who aren't good enough. And we just didn't until deadline day. We were rushing around. Firstly, I think deadline day signings have been our best signings. I think Leonard's a decent, he deserves a goal. He's really, really, I think, good in the air, and he's also strong. Jimmy J. Morgan's obviously bagged three goals. There's not much else. I think he's better than Ricky J. Jones was. He's always in the box. He knows where it is. Where's the goal, knows his movement. And then, obviously, I think Tom O'Connor's been our best player this season. He's been superb since he brought him in. I think the only deadline day signing I would have never done is Jacob Mendy, because I just thought he couldn't run after 45 minutes. And he was, in my opinion, he's no better than Mills. He's nowhere near as Mills. And then, well, I think most of our transfer business were just a bit weird. Lolos, I don't think's anywhere near Con Clark's level. I'm not even having a go at Con Clark because I thought he's been handled really poorly, personally. I think there was a player there, but he could have been used.
Talk to me about Chris Con Clark then.
Yeah, I think he could have been used, personally. I think he would have suited Leonard and Jimmy J. Morgan's movement, to be honest.
Well, as in you'd have him in this system as a 10?
Potentially, yeah, and put Garbutt on the right in a 4-3-3, because that's what they do for New Zealand.
So what like do you think went wrong for him? Do you think like he just wasn't Fergie's type of player, or like do you think his performances in pre-season and stuff were indicative of a player that should have been involved?
I personally think we saw, and I went back this yesterday when I was talking to my dad. I personally think we saw that 20-minute cameo the Bristol Rovers, I think it was last season, when we won 3-2 at home when he broke his collarbone. And that first 20 minutes, I thought we'd signed another non-league gem. We never got a run of games, personally. And we got told, oh, he'd cut down the weight or he's whatever this year, he's got fitter. And then never got a chance. And we signed Clyde Lolos, who doesn't do much, in my opinion.
Do you think there's a way back for Con Clark then? Before we go too far down the Con Clark rabbit hole. But do you think there's a chance that he could come back if he does well at Carlisle and potentially under a new manager do all right?
Yeah, I think it'd have to be a new manager basis, in my opinion. Because I really think...
Go on, kick guys.
I really do think I think he'd suit a Luke Williams type manager.
It's interesting. I've said before, I don't know if I ever saw enough from Con Clark. That 20 minutes versus Bristol Rovers was good. And the Gillingham game in the Virtue Trophy, I thought he played well, but nah, he didn't really show too much. But while we're on new manager talk, we might as well ask you, Harry, are you Fergie in or Fergie out?
Personally, at the moment, leaning more towards Fergie out. I think we've lost our identity. And I feel like we've just, well, lost all like shape and all movement and all, everything about it.
And so... Is it a case of like, how big do you think Saturday is for Fergie? Is it a case of it's another one like Burton where if he doesn't win, he's gone, do you think?
I personally agree with that point, yeah. I don't, honestly, if we lose Saturday and Burton win, we're still miles away from it. If we Blackpool, we'll be getting away. We'd be bottom of the league and we'd have a mountain to climb, really. And yeah, with this squad that we've assembled, which has some decent high-end League One players in, like Tom O'Connor, Harry Leonard, Archie Collins, obviously. It's not good enough for any manager, let alone Fergie's standards.
Yeah, I have to say I agree. I think it's a must-win game for Fergie. I just think if we lose, his position becomes, again, untenable. I think the negativity will just be... like mad. Like you think about how negative Burton away was in terms of the away crowd, and generally the away crowd's turns after the home crowd. So if we go 1-0 down on Saturday, the boos, like if we go into half time 1 or 2-0 down, the boos are going to be just horrific and the atmosphere is going to be awful. It just, I don't see a route back for Fergie after Saturday if that's the case. I mean, what do you think is going to happen? Like, do you think we're going to get at Blackpool? Do you think we're going to have that eureka performance that Dara was talking about on Saturday?
Well, the only eureka performance I've seen so far was Wickham, and that was largely helped by Garbutt being excellent. And if we have to rely on Garbutt and, well, Leonard Holdup play to get us up the pitch, it's not a good sign in many ways. And that was only a good half v Wickham. We weren't a good second half. We need to, well, you just need to get at them. Blackpool, obviously, they're worse than us. They're 24th. It's, the table doesn't lie, but you've got to, well, get at them. You can't just sit back like we did v Burton and just pray we score a screamer like Archie did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's any sustainable way to win a football game. What do you think of Blackpool? Have you seen much of them from a Posh perspective? And what do you think of Ian Evatt?
I haven't seen much of Blackpool, and I have struggled, obviously. Thoughts on Ian Evatt? I thought he failed at Bolton. I think it was, they never had really a clear system. They always played three backs, which, like, as we saw when we drew 3-3 to them at home in the last day of the season, I thought, well, they don't really have any style of play, and he relied on, well, his players to get him out of the, well, get him out of the trenches, to be honest.
Yeah, well, we've just had an interesting question in from Lods. Would any of you three take Steve Bruce until the end of the season? Harry, I guess this is something we've spoken about a lot. Who would be your number one target, if not Steve Bruce, for the managerial position if Fergie was to leave after Saturday's game?
Mine would probably be Matt Bloomfield or Luke Williams. That would be my top two targets.
Do you reckon we've got the squad to play that style of... I mean, Matt Bloomfield's a bit different because he was quite compact at Wickham, but do you think we have the squad right now to play Luke Williams football?
I think we have the players to do it. If you saw what a manager can do, you can, if you have confidence, you can do anything, in my opinion. Like Wickham, we played that football the first half and look what happened, 2-0 up. But that's the only time we played football this season, and then the rest of it just... looks hopeless.
Yeah, I agree with that. John, Brucey till the end of the season, thoughts?
I think Lods must have been on the beers, I reckon. Is he Thursday night? Steve Bruce in, is this Lods? No, he can stay well away from it. I'm more Fergie out than Fergie in, but I'm not desperate enough to say I'll have Steve Bruce in. Not for me. I don't mind the shout of Luke Williams. Little bit concerned of his defensive record. Bloomfield is one for me. He's not really proven that much. Did all right. He did well at Wickham, didn't he? And I think they probably would have gone up. But Lee's Luton spell concerns me a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. I prefer both Bloomfield and Williams to Steve Bruce, though. So you did better than Lods.
Yeah, well, everyone knows that I'm advocating for a different Steve, so that's gone down well on the latest episode.
Charlie, what is that about? I know we've got a guest on, but why are you...
Yeah, we can discuss it. We can discuss it when our guest left. We'll be like an old married couple. Let's deal with our guest first. Harry, looking forward to the game then. You don't sound the picture of optimism, I'm not going to lie to you, but we always ask for a score prediction. And you know what I love? In a score prediction, I love a bit of detail. Tell me who's going to score. Tell me how they're going to score. Tell me what win it. Tell me what celebration they're going to do. Give me some detail. Give me some flourish to your score prediction.
Well, I'm not really one for score predictions, but I think we might. I'll stay positive. I'll try and be a bit optimism in. I think we're going to win 2-1, and I think Harry Leonard's going to score both. I think he's due a goal, and he'll knee slide right in front of the GH.
Fair play. I mean, that would be unbelievable. And a GH knee slide, you don't get much better at London Road at the minute. Harry, thanks very much for coming on. Are you going to the game on Saturday?
Unfortunately.
Oh, whereabouts in the ground will you be? Will you be with the blue section?
No, I won't be the blue section. I'll be in my normal family stand, halfway line seat.
Yeah, fair enough. The Viking clap isn't for everyone. thanks for joining us, Harry. Have a good night.
Thank
you. Right. Well, John, now we've got rid of that. What are your thoughts on the game? Now you've heard an opposition fan. Has that helped?
Charlie, I'm worried. I am. Colours to the mast. I am worried. There's always this reputation around me of being the negative one. And I've predicted Posh to win, I think, 3 weeks running now. And I'm just not seeing it. I just want to see something. And I really thought after 2 weeks of Fergie ball on the training ground that I was going to see something that I could buy into and think, yeah, this is the moment. We're moving forward now. We've got some good players. And I know we won at Burton, but I just came away and I was like, nothing has changed here at all. And it's been like this for a long time. And I don't think we can keep putting in performances like, look, Plymouth, we gave them credit for, right? When we went away to Plymouth, I remember being on here and saying, oh, we did really well on ground out. Again, Bass came to the rescue in a couple of occasions there. Burton, Bass has come to the rescue in the first half. I don't think we can keep relying on our goalkeeper. And our home form is awful, isn't it, really? I mean, we spoke about the Wickham game. They were in dire straits. And even then, for 45 minutes, we struggled to get our own half. So we've played one good 45 minutes at London Road all season, I think, really. Or at least, I mean, you might argue that we were all right against Bradford or Luton in the first half where we didn't create very much but didn't concede. But yeah, I think we're going to lose. New manager bounce. It's going to get us. I'm worried.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to go one of two ways. And one way is very good and the other way is very bad. I can't see this being another Burton. I can't see us winning with a poor performance again. I don't think you get many of those in a season. I think we've used up that credit for now. I think we're either going to come out and it's going to be absolutely awful and we're going to lose, you know, 2-1, 3-1, something like that. And they're going to just walk all over us and they're going to look like it's going to be men against boys, you know, like they're going to be one of those big physical League One sides with Ashley Fletcher up top and we're just not going to be able to do anything. Or they will have had a big week on the training ground. Fergie will have completely ripped into them after Burton and we are going to see Fergie ball. I do actually agree with Dara when he mentioned the need for a Eureka performance. I do think that there, if Fergie was to just be given unlimited time, that would happen at some point because I think his style of football is one that, I mean, maybe you disagree, John, but for me, his style of football, Fergie, is one that once the players get it, they get it, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, there is simply no way that Fergie went out and said, let Burton have 60% of the ball. Burton Albion shouldn't be dominating possession against us. But I don't understand where there seems to be like a disconnect or a lack of understanding. Because I remember flagging it up in an earlier episode of Up the Poshcast where I said, he keeps saying after matches, I didn't recognise my team. That didn't look like one of my teams. And then he said it again at Burton, where he's like, I spent 2 weeks on the training ground coaching a completely different style of football. And then we've gone out and it didn't look like what he'd been coaching. So the message isn't getting across somewhere. And I find it hard to believe that after, as I say, a year of this message not getting across, that all of a sudden, in a week after Burton, everything's going to change. I've been waiting for a change. I've been waiting to see us have 20 shots and 3 XG and look really good. But you look at the final third. I mean, I was looking for some stats in the week and I think we've had 100 fewer passes than the 23rd worst team in the final third this season. And that for me is just so alarming in a possession heavy team as well. We're one of the most, we try to be possession heavy. We're like mid table for possession. We're the lowest for the amount of passes in the final third. And it that's what it looks like on the pitch. I feel like every game, I just watch George Nevitt pass it to Tom O'Connor, pass it to Harley Mills, pass it to Tom O'Connor, pass it to George Nevitt. And that seems to be our style of play. But I just don't know where, how, when it's going to change. I'm sorry, I'm in my miserable state again.
Oh, I wonder why people call me the negative one. Yeah, I mean, listen, I have to say a lot of what you said is just irrefutable, isn't it? Like that is not a sustainable way to win football matches, as I said. I mean, it's a comment from Matt. We cannot play five at the back at home. It stifles creativity. Do you reckon there's any chance, John, that we see quite a drastic change this weekend?
Well, I would really like us to change the formation. The problem is we've built this squad of 30 players, and I've said it before, it's really hard to get them into any system but a 5-3-2 because unless you want to play Oddo, and I think I speak for every single Posh fan now when I say I do not want to play Oddo, it's really difficult. You can have Lisby, but then you're gonna force Jimmy J on a wing. It's not great, is it? And then who else have we got that could play on the left flank? Like, you could have Garber out there, I guess, but again, you're kind of forcing him out there. Did I see something saying we're waiting for Frith to come back?
That wouldn't surprise me. Like, that is all we've got, isn't it? Like, we got to wait for Frith, or obviously him and Hayes getting injured at the same time is a big bummer. Like, that is terrible. But yeah, I don't know. I do not know whether we can switch to that back four, as you said, because even if it is Ado, it's going to be either Ado on his weaker side or Lisby on his weaker side. They're just, on their day, they're just about passable on their, like, strongest side. So if they're pushed into a position that they're not familiar with, I mean, we'll go on to team selection then. When is Hughes back, says Kieran? I believe he's a couple of weeks away. John, would you make any changes other than the enforced one, obviously, with Tom Lee suspended?
I think I'm going 4-4-2, Charlie. I think I'm going dogs of war 4-4-2 and just bank up and then just hit them with pace. So I think I would set up with Bass in goal, Mills left back, O'Connor left centre half, George and Nevitt. I think I'm worried about the defence as well. Nevitt in a two or a Kagwe. I think I've got to play Nevitt because I want us to play football. And I think, I don't know that Okagwe can do it, but I'm not particularly comfortable with Nevitt playing right centre-back. Then Kyoto, centre-mid, I would probably have Woods and Collins. And then I think I'm farming Garber out on the right wing, which I don't really want to do because I saw him at Bolton kind of playing in a similar position and it wasn't ideal, but needs must at the minute. I'll have Lisby down the left. And then Jimmy J and Harry Leonard up top. And just, yeah, 4-4-2. Try and get Lisby quite high up the pitch. Garber can press it, cover in a little bit and tuck in. Give him a little bit of freedom to roam. That's where I'm at with it now. I just want to see more men in the opposition's third. I can't watch another 90 minutes of Leonard and Morgan just running around doing doggies with men 70 yards behind them. It's just so boring. I think I might switch off at half time if I see that again.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm with you. I don't think I would change the system, mainly just because I think you're shoehorning players into positions that they don't want to be in. I think my lineup would be obviously Bass in goal. I'd stick with the 3-5-2, and I would. Now, I think it'll be a Kagwe comes in for Leeds, but also it wouldn't surprise me if James Dornelli maybe made a rogue appearance at right centre-back. He's been tried there a few times. He's in good form right now, according to people at the club, especially if we're trying to do sort of that Sheffield United overlapping centre-backs thing, which we tried a couple of times with Tom O'Connor at Burton. If we're doing that, you know, he's the best crosser at the football club, apparently, so that could work. But I think it will be a Kagwe. Then obviously the wing-backs pick themselves, don't they? It's just got to be Kyoso and Mills, although Carl Johnston's gone AWOL. And then in the midfield, you've got Archie Collins, you've got Matthew Garbett. I don't think those two are in contention, but I would drop Ben Woods for this game. I think we need Keller's energy back in the midfield. I think we were missing it at Burton. He's not that great technically. I mean, he's okay, but I think just the running that he brings, the energy, as I said, in there, is just really important for us, especially at home if we're struggling to get going. His interceptions, and to be fair, he's actually had a really good impact. His best games probably came towards the end of his time in the starting lineup, and then he was replaced by Ben Woods. I haven't really seen a lot from Woods to suggest that he's going to be a quality player at the moment, although I think he's got clear technical and physical abilities. And then obviously the strike partnership is Morgan and Leonard. Although, wouldn't surprise... I think it will be Morgan and Leonard. But also, if it was Lisby and Leonard, I would not be... Like, I would be probably a little bit like, oh, but I wouldn't be flabbergasted. Like, I wouldn't be completely shocked if it was Lisby and Leonard, because listen, Lisby's on form at the minute, and Fergie generally likes to reward informed players, doesn't he?
Is he in form?
He's called a hat trick against Villa under 21s, John. That's all we've got.
Yeah, he was very good there. And look, I am not saying Lisby's been poor off the bench, but he has collectively touched the ball under 10 times in his two substitute appearances since that game. So is he in form? It's a generous adjective, Charlie. That's all I'm saying. He did well for 45 minutes, but in form, we're scratching. I think we're scratching. It's a bit like saying Lindgren's in form because he scored twice for the under 21s. So get him back in the squad. You know, is he in form?
Right. Well, you'll get a chance now to put your money where your mouth is and make a score prediction. I'll get all the score predictions up on screen. We'll go through them all, and then you can talk me through yours in a bit more detail. John, try not to crash out when you see mine. I'm trying to cope, all right? But here we are. So we've got Ashley with a 3-0 posh win. Own goal, first goal. I'm with a 3-0 posh win. Harry Leonard to get his first posh goal. Dell, I mean, it's a 4-2 or a 2-2 with Dell. He's gone for the win. 4-2 own goal. Harry with a 2-1 posh win, Harry Leonard. John with a, oh, there we are, with a 2-1 posh loss, with a Harry Leonard consolation goal. Why am I called the negative one? And then Lods, a 2-2 draw, Harry Leonard to score, and Max with a 3-1 win with JJM up top, bagging the first posh goal. Talk me through the prediction then, John. 2-1 loss.
I didn't want to do it. I just, new manager bounce. I'm scared. I can't keep saying it, really. I'm just a bit worried. And I keep predicting Harry Leonard to score first because he has to score first at some point, doesn't he? He does have to score. I do quite like Harry Leonard. I do think he's half-decent player. So please hit the back of the net and get me 2 points. Is it 2 points or 3 points? I don't even know the rules to our own game. I think it's two, isn't it, for the first scorer.
I think it's one for the correct result, three for the correct score, and an extra one if you get the first goal scorer, maybe. I think it's that.
Yeah. What an advert.
Look on up the poshcast.com, where you put your predictions in. All the rules are on there. We knew them at the start of the season. Ashley's about to smoke us in the comments, John.
Yeah, we're cooked.
We are both idiots, apparently. Correct result is 1 point. Correct score is 2 points. And then 2 points to the goal scorer. Right.
So I was right. I said 2 points.
Yeah, you were right. Yeah. I was wrong.
Yeah.
Well,
not for the first time.
Get your predictions in the comments. We want to see them all. I'll just go back through what's been going on in the chat. I know we've answered some as we've gone along, but I guess in terms of, okay. Peter Boyce, agree completely with film by Haz on 4-3-3. I actually would entertain 3-4-3 if we put Harley Mills wide left, the up top three being Leonard, JGM and Lisby. You know what? That's not something I've seen posited yet. That's not a bad shape. Obviously, you're having to drop one of your... Well, are you? You could do Collins and Garbutt. I don't hate that, actually. I mean, obviously, you're going to have to put JGM wide, and then if you're doing that, you'd think, why aren't you just going to play a back four? But it's not the worst shout I've heard from Peter. Ashley wasn't happy with the Ricky J. Jones slander. Defoe, not sure what that's in reference to. Howard Thomas, what a boy.
The manager. It's got to be the manager, Chaz. Jermaine Defoe.
We're not getting Jermaine Defoe in as a manager. Howard Thomas, I'm traveling from... I'm travelling from Spain for the match. I think this might be the week we launch our season. Yes, Howard, love it, you. This is going to be the launch of our season. Yeah, I'm very impressed too. The wife's away. The wife's away, so Howard's going to play. Gracias, amigo. And then there's just a weird bit where they're all talking Spanish in the chat, which 1-1 nailed on, says Matt. Rafty says, I cannot believe he said directed this towards me, by the way.
Yes,
if we win, Raff. Charlie promised to be more upbeat. Have you not listened to John droning on about the fact that, you know, we're never going to play well again? Dara made a comment about playing back. Yeah, we've done that. Since when has Fergie? That's a good point. He doesn't like to change a winning team, although he very rarely lambasts a team after they win as badly as he did on Saturday and says he was bored and that he's wasting his time. So I don't know. Frith is made of glass. I wouldn't pin our hopes on him. Yeah, two left-footed centre-backs. I think this is criticism of your lineup, John, with one of them not able to sprint.
Yeah, look, Lord, I get two left-footed centre-backs isn't ideal, but Okagwe can't kick with either of them, so at least he's got one foot he can use.
I rewatched that clip today of me slagging off Okagwe and Ash like getting annoyed at me, and I stand by every word. Lord says Gustav to come off the bench before Lisby on Saturday. He's been bagging for the 21, so you never know. Gustav and Morgan.
Go away, Ashley.
Oh yeah, Mr. Now this is a real good comment. Elite Lawn Maintenance are definitely the best you get in the local area. We couldn't agree more. Big up Elite Lawn Maintenance. 360 times stronger their products are than the stuff you get at the garden centre. Got a couple more predictions in. Yeah, PUFC for life is on the 3-0 train with me and Ash. He'll be allowed to join the Poznan in the GH, John, but you're not. Kieran Jack, 2-2. Desmond, potentially. And Rafdi, the tables have turned. John, promised to be more upbeat than me?
Yeah, Chaz is actually secretly miserable. And he had the flu. He's still recovering from a flu that knocked him out for about 3 weeks. He's a precious little boy.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, I think, unless we've got any other business...
Charlie, there's a big elephant in the room. It was a bigger elephant, I'll be honest. Steve Evans.
Oh, God, yeah.
Come on. Why are you wanting him back for a second spell?
He would 100% keep us up. So he comes in. First of all, he knows the club. He's been a manager before. There's not really a lot of bedding in time. He knows the club. He knows a lot of the training ground. He knows where to, you know, get his pie on a match day. He's got all that sorted. Second of all, he's been at a lot of games this season in person. So he will have been. And I guarantee you, he knows that he will be one of the names in the hat if Fergie goes. And I guarantee you, he's got a fat notebook at home with all the things that he'd change. And he come in with a very good idea. I also think there's certain players in our team that he'd absolutely love. I think Evans and Garbutt would get on so well. I think he would just turn Garbutt into an absolute machine. And, you know, we've got enough cloggers at the back, like Tom Leaves and Okagwe, that we can play Steve Evans-style defence. And he'd love, like, the athleticism of, like, Kyoso and stuff like that. And also... You know what? I actually like Steve Evans. Unpopular opinion. He always talks well about the club in interviews. He always says that Peterborough is the club he's going to go and watch for years to come. He's always loved our style of football. He's really complimentary about everything to do with Posh. This isn't a long-term appointment, but I'm so confident that if he came in, he'd keep us up and we get some great little results on the way as well. And some serious less... Well, I was going to say fatty fist bumps, but he's not anymore, really. He gets some serious just fist bumps, I guess, on the way to the end of the season. And I just think, in terms of a stopgap, because this season's probably a write-off already, in terms of a stopgap, it's not a bad shout. But I'm hoping that Fergie turns it around and can stay, because this is... I still do believe that this is his project and his baby, and that there is a path to success. But yeah, Evans is not a bad candidate, I don't think.
Well... I won't. I mean, Traitors is on in 6 minutes, so we're going to lose all our viewer base. So we can't keep talking about Steve Evans. But I will go as far as to saying I completely disagree with Chaz on whether I'd like. I would rather Jermaine Defoe than Steve Evans. Give me a license. I'd love a little, you know, just an ex-player. John Terry, Defoe, like England.
Relegation.
Don't be silly. Fergie did have no managerial experience when he came in for that first spell, did he?
It's a different landscape. We're fighting for our life, John. We celebrated. We did. We had three sets of fist bumps for a 1-0 win at Burton away. Do you not realise how in the trenches we are now?
Yeah, awful. But you're not. If you're in the trenches, you're digging them deeper with Steve Evans. That's what you're doing. You're getting the shovel out and going further in the trenches. We're going to get out with a bit of continental flair, like a, I don't know. Des Buckingham's in Saudi Arabia, isn't he? We could go and get him. I wouldn't mind him.
Yeah. So he's going to swap Saudi money for the
back in the English leagues.
Yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. But yeah, you mentioned the traitors. Yeah, listen, priorities. How is Jonathan Ross surviving? No idea. It's a big... I don't want to spoil it for anyone who's watching on catch up. So quick, if you're a traitors watcher and you're not up to date. But I think, isn't there like some weird thing that's going to happen? Like a first time thing that you're going to find out about tonight?
Well, it's fate, isn't it? They're voted.
Is it going to be like what, like a coin toss or something?
Probably. Claudia's going to come out with a coin. I don't know. I'd just like to say, by the way, I've done Traitors Live and I won. So
did you? I really want to do that.
Yeah. I won as a faithful. I wasn't a traitor, although I wanted to be. But yeah. I did win.
If I was a traitor, I'd recruit you, John. If that's any consolation.
Thanks. Yeah, I am a self-proclaimed expert on the traitors since an avid watcher since series one.
No, the traitors it's just quality telly, isn't it? It's just great. Cool. Big up Alan Carr, my goat. Anyway, thank you very much, everyone, for watching. I'm sorry that we sort of digressed a bit at the end, but actually our viewership's increased when we started talking about the traitors, which is weird. But anyway, thank you very much. Up the traitors cast. We should do it. We should just have bonus episodes where me and you just blabber about the traitors. Right. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you to Elite Law Maintenance again for sponsoring. Let's hope that we're a nice positive episode will be hitting your Spotify or Apple or your YouTube come Monday morning. Up the Poshcast.
Not the Poshcast.